I want to ask you a little bit about your background.
Okay.
And how you got into mathematics, especially. What's your first memory of doing math or doing something mathematical?
Well, it's funny. My first memory of math actually comes through my family enjoys telling stories. And so, in a sense, it's a different answer to your question, but my mom always talks about that. My mom's an educator, and she'll always say that you could always tell from way back where I was going and where my sister was going, because as children, when we would take long car trips, any game that you could play with me that would keep me engaged was related to math. So I would look at license plates or anything that involved numbers, I would enjoy and have fun. And with my sister, it was anything that involved words and letters, and that's where she would have fun. And so I remember some of those games, but my main memory is actually that story and it being told throughout my life.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up primarily outside Philadelphia. I was born in Colorado and then lived in the LA area for 2 years. But by the time I was four, I lived outside Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Other than the storytelling, was there math in your environment, family at all?
My mother is very good at math, and so she always talked about math fondly, and her sister was very involved in math. She was a computer scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. How did that experience compare with school math? What do you remember of elementary school and then into high school?
My main memory, and I often use this in class, is my main memory of math in elementary school were the speed tests that we took, where you would have, say, 100 problems. I don't actually remember the number of them. And you would do them as fast as possible. And I would always try to do them as fast as possible and be done, and then be able to look around the room and watch other people taking it. And ironically, I'm not a terribly competitive person, so I'm not terribly sure why I was always into that, but I think it made it amusing for me. Because I do remember not finding math terribly interesting at times, because I think, like, I remember when I was in fifth grade, my sister had her algebra book. My sister's 5 years older than me, and she had her algebra book. And I picked it up, and I began to go, wait a minute, these are puzzles. Now, this is cool. Why am I not learning this? And so I remember that. And I got very into computer programming in junior high and found that quite fascinating and creative.
Just on the side, what were you programming in?
Basic.
Okay. I remember those days.
Yeah.
Except I go back to Fortran. Were you into computer games or things like that?
I played computer games. Mm-hmm. I had never programmed any. I tried to program blackjack on a computer, but I didn't want it to just be the... I wanted it to have full graphics. Mm-hmm. And so I kept working. That was what bogged me down. I was trying to draw all that. It's not terribly easy.
So when you were thinking about going to college, did you have an idea of what direction you wanted to go in at that point?
It was not math. Yes, I did, but it was not math at that time. At the time, I was performing. So I have a background in puppetry and mime. And in the math community, I'm at least to some degree known for a show that introduces math ideas through mime. Mm-hmm. But I've performed before I made that show. And within 1 to 2 years of college, I'd have to sit and think about what timing that was. It probably was my sophomore year. I was already performing at national and then very soon international performing arts conferences. Mm-hmm. So when I went to college, my entire intent was to be a performing artist. So I wanted to be a theater major. But my parents pointed out that that was great, but I needed to at least get a minor in something that, if that didn't work out, would allow me to pay the bills. And I was I had enjoyed computer science a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And in order to do computer science, you take math. And I just flew through calculus. Calc 1 was actually the hardest for me. I had not taken calculus in high school. And so Calc 1 was a bit of an adjustment. I did quite well in it, but I mean, I was like, what are we doing here? This is different. But Calc 3 and Calc 2 were quick for me. And because of that, I kept taking it, in part because at one point I thought I'd be a high school teacher, and I could then teach math or computer science or theater was kind of the thought. And then in time, I dropped the computer science for the math. And it was actually when I took proofs. Discrete math caught my attention because it had a proof component to it. But it was proof class. And I think it was actually when we learned infinity. I remember what room I was in. I remember where I was. And it was just something that you could think about, and yet at the same time you were never really truly able to quantify the whole thing in your head, but math allowed you to look at it and understand it in ways. And then my proof teacher would talk about that proofs could be aesthetic and they could be beautiful, and to me there were elements of the way he do that would be like poetic, and that was life-changing for me. That was something that I think is in computer science, but I saw math as having more of that than computer science. And at the same time, I was performing, but I was not taking many theater classes. And when I finally looked at the theater major, I was already performing in ways I wanted to. And it was actually my undergraduate advisor who really helped me see that I didn't need a computer science major with a math major. Applied math was enough to do what I wanted, and I just really loved taking the math classes that I did. So he encouraged me. I think I don't remember how I got a master's first, and he was encouraging me to think a doctorate, and I wasn't really, that wasn't on my radar at the time. But for me, it was always important that it be, that there was an application. When I took abstract, the professor called me in the office and encouraged me to think about going into that, and I asked, well, what are the applications? And he said, well, there are, but that's not exactly what you do. And somehow that, knowing that it had an applied aspect to it, I always wanted to be able to talk about things at a dinner table with people. I don't know why that's important to me, but I think a lot of the stuff I do today reflects that that's a goal for me and for even the way I teach.
Now, where were you at college?
I went to Western Michigan University. We moved there from Philadelphia, and we knew that I was going to be living at home, and so we were placed in Kalamazoo, actually, for me to go to Western because of, they had a very strong analytical computer science degree and a very strong theater program, and little did I know that they had this very strong math program, particularly in graph theory, and which I was lucky to benefit. Even though I didn't take a lot of graph theory, I was fortunate to take some wonderful graph theory classes.
That was Chartrand?
Yeah, Gary Chartrand.
Gary Chartrand, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I was I really enjoyed Western. It was a wonderful place for me.
So, but your proof class, that didn't sound very applied to me.
No. Yeah, that's what was fascinating, was I absolutely loved all the theory courses I took. I just didn't want it to be what I concentrated in. But interestingly, I mean, there are different branches of applied math, and there are some that, if you will, are more applied than others. And I've never ventured into the areas that I think are the more applied, where you really know the application more than you're doing the math. I've never liked that. And I think that's how I balance that. I like things that, when I get stuck, I have to sit and just work with, it just looks like math, like anyone, anyone would be doing, regardless if you're applied or pure.
So where did you do your doctorate?
I did my doctorate at University of Colorado, Boulder, in the applied math department. I went there because of, they have a program where you can work with affiliated faculty. So you could work with anyone in the department, but you could also work with anyone actually at the entire university mm-hmm. that was trying to find ways to deepen or better what they were doing with math.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up working with someone in the department, but mm-hmm. having that breadth of options was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, living in Boulder was mm-hmm. was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you end up then at Davidson?
Well, I went to University of Washington for a postdoc following mm-hmm. my doctorate, and I was underneath the Vigor postdocs that were funded by the NSF.
Mm-hmm.
So I had teaching as a big component of it. I was able to and encouraged to mentor undergraduate students, so I had several undergraduates that mm-hmm. worked with me on research. And I was actually in a 3-year postdoc, and after the second year, well, actually, it was Project Next that mm-hmm. completely changed my direction. Is I got extremely high teaching evaluations at mm-hmm. University of Washington in calculus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chair came in and said, we need to put you in Project Next because I don't know where you're going to end up, but teaching is clearly going to be mm-hmm. a big component of what you're going to do. I think you should be mentored now in that and not later. And so I was placed in the Project Next, and the fellows there were talking about what they'd done, job searches and so forth and so on. And one fellow who had said, you know, I was in a 3-year position, and at the second year, I applied to just select liberal arts schools mm-hmm. and then saw what I thought. And that kind of stuck with me. And then I happened to have dinner with one of the fellows and talked about what I was doing and the things that I loved about my postdoc, and he actually just turned to me and said, you have got to apply to liberal arts schools,
mm-hmm.
and I think you should do it this year and just narrow your search. And it was interesting because my wife was pregnant with our first child, and I did not want to enter the job market, but that one conversation just hung mm-hmm. with me for weeks, and I did. I applied to 4 places, and Davidson from the get-go was
mm-hmm.
just a wonderful place for me. I'm able to teach computer science. I teach computer science classes and applied math classes, and I get to mentor students and so forth. It's a good place for me.
And you've expanded into a lot of other activities from there
yeah.
already.
Yeah.
Including
yeah.
the, you know, the Twitter and
yeah.
blogging and
yeah.
so on.
Yeah, Davidson's encouraged me, and because we're small, you know people, and so people can help you. Like when I was interested in blogging, wasn't really sure what that meant or how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and very quickly people helped me and
mm-hmm.
got me up and going, and then they get the various people at Davidson either read my blog or follow
mm-hmm.
me on Twitter, and so just walking across campus I get feedback on things. Like even this week I went to just a committee meeting, and I had 2 people come up and congratulate me on something I tweeted about just an hour ago, and it completely threw me. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I have that many followers, you know, so, I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, 5,000 people, and, you know, so of course somebody might see it or whatever, I mean, or millions or whatever the case may be, but, yeah, it's one reason I enjoy Davidson is that
mm-hmm.
communicating ideas, and for me, mathematics is inherent to
mm-hmm.
what we're about.
At the same time, you've maintained some sort of performance persona.
Yeah.
Things that.
Yeah,
things
this very. Yeah, just this past weekend, my wife and I performed at a performing arts conference, and I developed the mime and originally the mime and math show was just a
mm-hmm.
concept
mm-hmm.
that. Well, that's actually not entirely true. The way that it first started was somebody had a grant for a math exhibit to be at a library,
mm-hmm.
and part of the grant was to have performances related to math.
Mm-hmm.
And the librarian, the head librarian, called and said, I think you should be part of this with your show. And I was like, this was just a standard
mm-hmm.
mime show. And I was like, what? And she goes, well, I think you have mathematical concepts in what you do. And I was... To be honest, I didn't even like being told that because it's an
mm-hmm.
artistic show
mm-hmm.
and it kind of offended the artist in me somehow. I don't know. It was very weird the way I reacted. And I went home and I told my wife, and she said, yeah, no, I think you do. And so I was like, what? And I was like, what are you talking about? And so she told me two or three sketches that are now part of Mime and Math show that are exactly the same thing I used to do. And I just now talk about how they relate to math. Mm-hmm. And then I told one of my other really good art friends who knows me as an artist, not as a mathematician. He said, oh, yeah, no, those sketches are very mathematical. And so I did go and perform as part of that thing. But then I didn't do it anymore. It was just for that one show. And then I went to the chair of the education department at Davidson, and told him that I was thinking about developing this mime and math presentation. Mm-hmm. And I went into the meeting just to tell him about it, and when I came out, he'd given me seed money to purchase what I needed to do it, and given me contacts to make it go. So, like, my wife dropped me off, and then she picked me up an hour later, and it was happening.
Oh.
And it was very funny, because I was thinking this was going to be for, like, 2 years from now. And she went, oh, I assumed you'd come in the car ready to go. So, I mean, it was very funny because somehow it just wasn't part of what I was thinking. But within less than a year, the show was ready and being performed. But it took quite a bit of time to get. Mm-hmm. There were two new sketches in that show that took me about 7 months to develop. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy because I want to believe that my artist friends can come and still see the performer they know, but my math friends can come and feel as if I'm presenting mm-hmm. math in a legitimate way as well. Mm-hmm. And those aren't always the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, but when audiences respond, it's very meaningful. A week ago, mm-hmm. I was doing the Mime and Math show at Berry College, and mm-hmm. folks were just so excited, and it's mm-hmm. just neat to see that.
Now, on the other side, you'll be talking about rankings and things mm-hmm. like that tonight. How did that interest arise?
Well, my PhD research, which I've done work with the national labs of the United States, it's actually in numerical partial differential equations, but when you linearize a PDE, it becomes mm-hmm. a linear system, so it's mm-hmm. like linear algebra. It's solve AX equal B. And I had done a lot of that work, but that involved going to the national labs, which became more difficult as my son became older because he wanted to be home and be with his friends. And it actually started with ranking, was when Davidson made the Elite Eight. CBS Morning Show visited Davidson, and they had coverage. So I was on sabbatical in mm-hmm. Seattle. And we were watching the TV program, and then they had two students from the College of Charleston who had done amazing in this bracket. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that would be Amy Langville's students. Mm-hmm. And Amy and I had already collaborated on research, but we'd collaborated, but not as really active, close collaborators. We just mm-hmm. had kind of kept up and done some things. And we'd done a lot of stuff together in teaching. In fact, she helped fund part of my sabbatical where we created teaching modules together. And so I emailed her. Well, I received a Sloan Fellowship for my research. And one of the goals of that is that you can switch kind of directions or kind of redirect what you're doing. And I emailed Amy and said, I want to work on this with you if you're open to that. And she got very excited and posed some questions for me, and then and Davidson was helpful there again because mm-hmm. it was before the Sloan money came, mm-hmm. and Davidson actually helped me fund mm-hmm. my first research student in the area, mm-hmm. which propelled the work forward. And then I had very talented undergraduates that, you know, have moved very quickly on a lot of the work. So The brackets is just a fun application of right. the ranking. There are real research mm-hmm. is not in brackets.
Yeah.
In fact, just today, I got an email from a student who, for the very first time, he will do research on how do you use the ranking if mm-hmm. you really want to use it for brackets, not how do you rank and then create a bracket, which mm-hmm. is what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a byproduct of what we do mm-hmm. and just does amazingly well. But his question will be a little bit different, which I somewhat allude to actually right at the beginning of the talk. So it'll be intriguing if somebody asks me about it, because usually people don't really think about that. You don't have to do what we're doing to you don't have to rank everybody to pick a bracket. You don't need that much accuracy in it. And so everyone that loses in the first round, you don't necessarily really care. So, yes. But that's why that was a natural transition for me, because the ranking that we do, and then I also work a little bit in clustering, so it's that data mining area, is all linear algebra. So that's why it's a natural field for me. Mm-hmm. And then Amy and I are natural collaborators because we both work in numerical linear algebra. And then my computer science background enables me to work with students who can, sometimes I work with math students who just work on the math part of it, but then I can work with computer science students who, like today, Amy told me last night that she wanted to work on something related to the NFL draft. And so I emailed a student today and said, look, I don't think there's any data on what we're doing. Would you be interested in working with me to scrape all this off the internet? Then we'll see what we can do. But I know him from a computer science class. And even if I had him in a math class, that's not why I want him. I want him because he taught himself the entire Java language, and he's like amazing in class. So I know that he can learn things on the fly and do it independently, which is often important in this work. Well, it's important to work with me because I can't just sit with you all the time and help. And then you also become your own independent researcher.
You've got a lot of other interests and projects and things going. I mean, you're on the editorial board of Math Horizons.
Yes.
What interest does that represent?
Math Horizons, it's funny. I often mention my wife because she was my best friend before we dated, so she knows me very closely. So when I say she says something, it's because it's really the person who knows me best reflecting something. I often say to her that I plan to publish in other MAA journals, and yet I often don't. It's Math Horizons that I love publishing in because it's, again, that dinner table part, is that Math Horizons is something that you can give to someone at the dinner table, and at least a large portion of it they can read and enjoy and see. And in my performances, I often say, if you don't like math, it's probably because you haven't seen the part of math that you would actually like. It's not that you don't like it. And you just don't like the parts you've seen so far. And Math Horizons reflects that for me. Math Horizons, like for instance, I'm teaching finite math, which for my students will, most of them, if not all, will be their last math class. And I tell them on the first day, my goal is that when you leave this class for the rest of your life, you have at least one good story that you can tell, particularly a child, about math. Because if you're somebody's model, then you need to have something good about to say about math. Even if you don't plan to do it again in your life, they may, and they need to hear you talk fondly about it. Math Horizons reflects that for me. It's always felt very, in fact, when I got the job from Davidson and I knew that I would be at a place that would value that kind of publishing, it was under a month of accepting the job that I was working on my first Math Horizons article, which was the article about math and the CGI effects of Star Wars, which I co-authored with someone from Industrial Light and Magic.
There are a whole series of questions I get asked just about that.
Yeah.
But another interest, Museum of Mathematics.
The Museum of Mathematics, the other part that's important to me in math, one is that math is seen in a different way. But math can be explored and not just looked at. And in that, in a sense, like when I was in that proof class and I was just so taken aback by math and that you could conceptualize things and that it could be beautiful and so and that it could be artistic, that was such an aha moment for me. And for most people that are not mathematicians, saying that math has this artistic aspect or it has the aha, I mean, maybe they, I think they interpret that as aha, ah, I got the answer. And it's like, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's not like, aha, I have something to circle now. It's much more than that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has completely enthralled me about the Museum of Math from the beginning is its absolute commitment to engagement in mathematical ideas at a very open-ended level, where you explore the idea without, in many if not all cases, any preconceived notion of how you're going to see it and how you're going to engage it. Because that's really where people make those long-term connections with ideas, let alone just the look of it, the mm-hmm. aesthetic. It was probably the aesthetics of it that first drew me, was when I went to their site, and I didn't even know what I was seeing was mathematically. I just went, wow. Mm-hmm. This, but it was also, their very first exhibit was a traveling exhibit called the Math Midway, which was in a circus theme, mm-hmm. which if you think about my background, probably in itself was enticing to me because of mm-hmm. the circus type skills and tricks that I do know. But mm-hmm. it was more than that, but I'm sure that has something to do with it as well.
Well, to finish up a little bit, mm-hmm. working on a book, one for the MA, in fact.
Yes.
Is that your first?
No, I just finished a textbook with Ann Greenbaum on numerical analysis, and it's literally coming out. So the binding date is like a week and a half from now. So next week, which is my spring break, I create the supplementary webpage, and I think that's my last commitment, at least for now. And that's a neat book. Ann was who brought me to the University of Washington. We co-taught mm-hmm. together. And so writing the book, we know each other's strengths, mm-hmm. and Ann is a fabulous numerical mm-hmm. analyst. Mm-hmm. And so, but the MAA book is exciting for me. It's going to be a book about applications of linear algebra. And so ranking will be in there in bracketology, but you can make Harry Potter disappear in Hogwarts. You can change the coloring of Scabbers, which is another Hogwarts type mm-hmm. application. But then there'll be like PageRank in a variety of ways, and then a really fun facial recognition program where it's not facial recognition the way it's normally fully done, which is called principal component analysis. That's a little too complicated for this. But you can actually do it as a least squares problem, which mm-hmm. is taught at the undergraduate level. Mm-hmm. And so you get to figure out the best linear combination of celebrities that fit your picture. And I'll tell you later, but not, I don't want it in this, what mine is. And when you hear mm-hmm. it, I'll never switch pictures, because everyone who's read it just cracks up, and so it's just delightful. So maybe I'll pick another one, but it's got to be as funny as the one that I have. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to that. I can't remember everything that's in it, but it's a lot of... Part of where it came from is I do numerical linear algebra in applied fields, and there was... we were actually preparing for Math Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. for the Southeastern MAA section meeting, which Davidson has a very active presence at. And one of the students, one of the categories was linear algebra, and one of the students went, man, I just hate linear algebra. And all of them went, yeah. And that was actually when I went, wait a minute, I need to... And they just were... it wasn't just that it was hard, it was that somehow it didn't feel like there was any need. They went, yeah, I've kind of forgotten it all. And that's when I was like, man, you know, there needs to be something out there that connects you to it, that even if you can't remember it, and even if it was hard, you can say, but man, wasn't that cool when we made brackets and ranked web pages and so forth. Yes. So, but yeah, that I'm working actually on another book for Princeton it'll be a general audience book. Mm-hmm. And it will be broader than linear algebra, but they've given me... I mean, I was working on that before the MAA book, and they gave me the blessing to to use some of that material within the MAA book, and then I'll recast it again back into the general audience book. But Right now, the MAA book is, I mean, I finished the textbook, but right now the MAA mm-hmm. book is my highest priority mm-hmm. in writing, outside my general writing that right. I do on more constant basis in terms of just blogs and mm-hmm. media things that they ask.
But you're keeping yourself busy.
Yeah. But I think one of the things for me is that when I go to performing arts conferences, I actually teach workshops on creativity. Mm-hmm. So, like I have a workshop I taught with a professional performing artist, and on Monday people take our workshop and have no idea what we're going to perform on Friday, but by mm-hmm. Friday we perform. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, a lot of the activity is centered around creativity for mm-hmm. me, and I like to think things, and I like to think creatively about it, and my mom once said, you're a storyteller, and I think at this point in your life you're wanting to tell the story of math mm-hmm. because I think you think people don't know it mm-hmm. and I think that you've always liked it when people go away remembering something that they didn't think they'd want to remember mm-hmm. and I think our society needs that, and to be honest, it's one reason being here in D.C. is very meaningful to me, is that the president and the administration and Congress have been very pointed about the need for people to be in math and science. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe that we need voices that can capture the attention of the world today to hear that math can be very mm-hmm. engaging. I had a friend in graduate school at one time, he said to me, you are not the typical mathematician. And I said, no, I'm not. And I said, sometimes that is very hard, if I'm honest with you. Sometimes it just, I wonder why in the world I'm in this field. And he turned to me and he said, I think that's exactly why you should be in this field. He mm-hmm. goes, you're very good, and you can help someone like me, because he was younger than mm-hmm. me in grad school. And you help me see that I have a place. And so I think for me, at least at this stage, a lot of the things that I like to do make me believe that if people want to hear the story that I have to tell, because for my performing, you just do it, and you mm-hmm. see the audience has its own genius. So Marcel Marceau, who we trained with in MIME, would talk about it that way, that the audience has its own genius, and you put it out there, and then you let it respond. But that's kind of the way I look at a lot of things I do, is that you just... I think there's a need for that, and so I'm trying to do what I can, and then you just wait to see how it takes hold. But for me, the creative process is in itself engaging, so I get a lot out of it just by the mere fact that I can be creative, whether it's Museum of Math or applications of math that can engage students so they won't say they hate math when they mm-hmm. train for Math Jeopardy or whatever the case may be.
Right. I usually finish with a question about asking about where you see yourself X years from now, say okay. 10 years from now.
That's an interesting question. I think a lot of people think about that maybe more than I do. I mean, one thing I will say is I called my wife today and she said, it'll be interesting a year from now what you're doing a year from now. So I think that's why I'm not really sure what to say what I'd be doing 10 years from now. But I'm going to answer a different question. You can ask it again if you want me to kind of, I'm not really answering that because that's a hard mm-hmm. question for me. Right. And then I have an answer for that, but let me give this answer mm-hmm. first. When you asked me about being in the museum, you didn't quite ask it that way, but why am I in the Museum of Math? I'll tell you literally why I got involved in the Museum of Math. I got involved in the Museum of Math because I want to take my children there. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not sure that my kids, I know that they love seeing me do my things, but it's daddy stuff, and it will always mm-hmm. be daddy stuff, and they'll be used to it. And even though they love seeing it, like when my son and my daughter are teenagers, will they still care, or will they kind of distance at that point? It's like mm-hmm. daddy's mime show is a little weird, or you know, whatever the case may be. And you know, they may not. It kind of depends on how life unfolds for them. But I've always felt like when we go to New York and we could walk in those doors, mm-hmm. it just was so clear to me that at any age, mm-hmm. my kids could go, my dad helped with this. Mm-hmm. And that that could always be a warm place for them to engage in math. Mm-hmm. And I would like to believe that whatever I do over 10 years, that they could look at it that way, mm-hmm. that they could say, you know, there's a warmness toward math, and my dad helped with that. I think for me, 10 years from now, I would like to believe, I mean, one of the main things for me in life is that I want to be able to say that I'm content with what I did, and which is why that's a hard question for me to answer, mm-hmm. because it's not so much what I do, but how I feel about what I do that's important to me. Mm-hmm. So where will I be in 10 years? I just want to feel good about what I'm doing and what I've done. Mm-hmm. And that's important to me. And right now, the types of things that come up are surprising often for me, but in a very good way that make me feel good that of the decisions I've made, because sometimes they're not always the decisions that others would necessarily make, mm-hmm. but for the value system and the way I look at what I want to do and the way that I would like to contribute to math are decisions that I feel I should make. Mm-hmm. And so that's often a very affirming decision for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.